Our scripture reading, if you would like to follow along, we do have pew Bibles, if you brought your Bible, is found in the Old Testament book of Joshua, the 24th chapter of Joshua, the very last chapter in that book. We'll be reading verses 1 through 3, and then we'll be jumping over to verses 14 through 25. This speaks of the tribes renewing their covenant with God. Hear the word of God. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. Here ends the reading of the words of truth that can be trusted. Thanks be to God. Would you please join with me in prayer? We thank you, Lord, for these words that remind us of your presence, of your continued calling to us, calling out us by name and also as your people. Father, continue to be open to how we turn back to you. We know your grace is awaiting us in a fresh and new way. Have us hear it and receive it through these words. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Last night, there was another game of the decade, of all times. a football game to end all games. After this game, it would be so incredible that they would stop playing football forever. This was going to define it. This was, afterwards, Jesus would be coming again in glory. LSU and Alabama. By the way, I think they are going to be playing today. Is the NFL going to be playing today, Mark? Is they going to be playing? Okay, they have a schedule. Full slate of games. Okay, so I guess it's not the end-all game of all games. We're going to continue to play. But it was an interesting thing to hear one of the players on the winning side offer the following quote, and I wanted to go ahead and share this with you. He said, quote, "Anything is possible." And he's just right after the game, and he's pumped, and adrenaline is rushing. And if you've ever played sports at all in your life, you know what that is, to right after a game and you've won, or for that matter, even if you've lost, and there's a lot of adrenaline pumping and flowing. And he says these words, "Anything is possible if you believe in God and work hard." Now, I'm thinking, though, what about the players on the other side who equally believe in God and have been working hard, and yet they lost? What does that say? And what, in fact, does that say when we throw God's name out there as though somehow God has given us victory in a football game? Or God has given us victory in some other manner that really doesn't actually build His kingdom. For us, as God's people, people will be listening to us. That's the point. People will be hearing what you say, but more so, people, when they know you're a Christian, when you know that you're the people of God, they're going to be watching. What's that phrase? You might be the only Bible that somebody sees. Doesn't mean that we need to be panicked about it. Doesn't mean that we need to be nervous. But we certainly need to be tuned in to how God is guiding us. Rather than just spouting off something, well, I must be in God's favor because thus and thus happened. Be careful. Be careful whenever you make those kind of blanket statements about how God works. Do we fully understand how God works? No. Is there a mystery to the nature of God and how He does act in the lives of His people? Absolutely. The longer that I'm in ministry, it's 21 years full-time ministry now, the longer that I'm in ministry, the less I know about how God works. Whenever people ask me, and when people are there in the midst of shards of brokenness of their life, something that has rocked their world, something that has just hit them like a ton of bricks, if you will, and they ask me why, oftentimes I simply continue to listen. Okay? And I think that that's what we're called to do, to be, rather than answer machines, for this is how God is at work here, or this is what God's doing, or trying to explain God, rather be a presence of God. Amen? To be present, to point to God in our very lives, in each and every breath that we take, to point to the one who has sustained us and provided for us, and in our lives to say, we will serve the Lord. That, my friends, is what's most important. It also takes a lot of effort just to be present with somebody. It takes a lot of effort. It's a lot easier to spout out all sorts of answers and to give one thing after another and to tell somebody what they should do. I know that no one here likes to tell somebody what they should do. I understand that. I understand that. But stretch with me a little bit here. Stretch with me your imagination. The scripture passage, or at least one part of it, is very familiar. Very familiar. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you ever seen that in a Christian bookstore before? I have. Have you ever gone into somebody's house and seen that? Yeah, absolutely. And certainly, it's a wonderful sentiment. It really is. But there's something more that's going on there. Joshua, you see, has just led the conquest of Canaan. And there have been battles. There have been some amazing things. In fact, in the book of Joshua, the sun stands still. That's earlier. Okay, I'm not going to cover that this sermon. There are some amazing things, some miraculous things. But what happens at the end of this book and towards the end of Joshua's life is that he, in essence, challenges the people, saying, after all that God has done for you, after everything that God has poured out for you in your life, after every way that God has prepared, what are you going to do? Bottom line, what are you going to do? Anybody who's ever had to make a tough decision understands that question and understands being in that very position. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Are we going to be on the side of God? Or are we just going to maybe do what seems comfortable or easy? For us, we must also answer as Joshua did. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be about building God's kingdom in all that I do and say. And those that I'm with are going to see that in me. And therefore, they're also going to be following me. Now, as Christians, we understand that we can make that personal saving decision, okay, with God through Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? God initiates it. God offers it, but we can make the decision then. So it's kind of a one-on-one thing. But there's still a residual effect after we do that. After we say, Lord, I want to live my life now as Christ would guide me. I want to live my life in a way that is really centered on you. I want to live my life in a way that's whole. I want to live my life in a way that's deep and meaningful and about the most important things in life. There's another book that came out, The History of the World in 100 Objects. True. The History of the World in 100 Objects. And it shows these different objects throughout history. And it describes the importance of these objects in world history and in human history. And during the interview, the author answers a question concerning the Bible. And this is what he said. If the Bible were put before us, it would tell us what God wants us to be. True. True statement, right? If the Bible was put before us, it would tell us what God wants us to be. These items, the author is talking about his own book, in this book, tell us what we actually are. That's why it is important that we gather together. That is why it is important that we understand every time we do gather and remember what God has provided for us. And that is why, after we remember what God has provided for us, that we offer words that remind us that we will seek to follow God in a new way. The question that I have before you are, what things do you have in your life that point to who you actually are other than being God's people? What things do you have in your life, accumulations, things, or what baggage are you carrying along that points to you belonging to something else or to somebody else besides God? This morning, we have a wonderful reminder of grace. I'd ask the communion servers that will be serving this morning to come forward at this time. Communion servers to please come forward at this time. Marv, would you help me serve? Thank you. In this table of grace and goodness, we remember how God, through Christ, offered us something wonderful and nourishing and sustaining. We remember the body of Christ gathered around that table. The disciples first heard those words, "This is my body, broken for you." God, through Jesus Christ, was offering them something sustaining, powerful, healing, taking them out of their own comfort zone and saying, "I'm going to give you something that will remind you that you belong to me." The body of Christ broken for the people of God. We are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And after the supper, Jesus poured out the wine and he said, "This is my blood poured out for you in sacrifice as an offering, something that reminds you that God seeks to be at one with you again as his people." Joshua was really saying that in his statement, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the sacrifice of the blood of Christ reminds us that God seeks to have that intimate relationship with us once again. The blood of Christ shed for the people of God, poured out for the people of God. We are the people of God. Thanks be to God. After the communion servers receive the elements, they will go to their stations. You'll be directed forward to receive these elements of grace. I wanted you to know that everybody is welcome. This is an open table that reminds us, as you receive these elements, that God seeks for us to be his people, and God loves us.